And in truth, we appreciate the visitors being with us, and we hope that you'll come and be with us at each and every opportunity that you have. From time to time, preachers may say, I'm not so sure what I'm going to preach on next week or next month or next quarter or whatever the case may be. And then questions get asked, or individuals may come up to me from time to time and may ask me a question about a particular passage or a particular topic. And of course, I'm always happy to try to answer those best of my ability and knowledge. And from time to time, you get asked questions that gives you an idea. Well, that's a sermon topic. Gives an opportunity to teach on that. Not long ago, in one of the Bible classes, a topic was brought up, I believe it was during Greg's Bible class, on the topic of dancing. And so I purposed that I would do a sermon on that. That's not what we're going to talk about this morning. But next week, Lord willing, next Sunday morning, we're going to deal with that topic, and I've just simply titled that sermon, May I Have This Dance? And that's an important question. And every individual, every single Christian needs to ask themselves that question, May I have this dance? We're going to take a look at that next week, if it be the Lord's will. This morning, we're going to take a look at a topic that I was asked about, I think, last week or maybe the week before. I can't recall right off, but it's an important topic, and it's one that we hear brought up often. Individuals may say these things to us. They may respond as we're trying to teach them the gospel, and they may respond by saying something along the lines of what we're going to talk about this morning. I just simply want to ask the question this morning, what does the Bible say about judging? There is no way, and I'll tell you up front, that this lesson is going to be an exhaustive sermon on the topic of dancing. The word judge, and its variations in the King James Version, appears well over 400 times, almost 500 times in the Bible. We're not going to look at all those passages. But we just want to ask the question, what does the Bible say about judging? Are we to make any judgments along the way? Does the Bible forbid all judging? Am I permitted to make some judgments along the way? What does the Bible say about that? That's what we're going to look at. Very fundamental points. Very simple points. Nothing difficult at all to be understood about what I'm going to talk about this morning. It's a lot easier when we think about judging for us to do so from the standpoint of what the Scriptures say. We're always safer to do that. Not from the standpoint of human reasoning. Not what I think about it. Not what you think about it. Or not what we've always thought about it. Because often the case is when we try to teach individuals about the gospel, many times what do we hear? Don't judge me. You don't have a right to judge me. I have a right to believe it my way. You have a right to believe it your way. I'm not going to judge you about that. And you don't judge me about that. Well, I ask you, is that reasoning in harmony with what the Bible teaches relative to judgment? So let's look at a few things this morning. Some very simple points along the way. First of all, when you think about judging, you need to ask yourself, what does that mean? Again, almost 500 times the King James Version uses the word judge or judging or judgment and so forth. Or judges. If you look this word up in a Strong's dictionary, it just simply means to distinguish, to decide mentally or judicially, by implication to try, to condemn, or to punish. And I'd suggest you look up those references. Get you a concordance and look up all those references that uses the word judge. And you'll have a nice study on your hands and before you to go through and to consider all of those passages that use that word. You know, the Bible teaches us that judging, is commanded. Are you aware of that? Let's look in the Old Testament and just notice some passages that the Bible uses as we think about this idea of judging. Now, keep in mind what he's talking about. He's talking about making a judgment based upon what information is set before an individual. And in the book of Exodus, chapter 18, you have pictured Moses and the work that Moses was engaged in doing. We'll notice Exodus 18 begin with verse 13. A couple of these may be a lengthy reading, but we're going to read them nonetheless so that we can get the context of it. Exodus 18:13 beginning. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said to judge the people. I want you to ask yourself all through here, is all judgment forbidden in the Scriptures? Well, Moses, the Bible says, sat to judge the people. And the people stood by Moses from the morning until the evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, "What is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone? And all the people stand by thee from morning unto evening." And Moses said unto his father-in-law, "Because the people come unto me to inquire of God. When they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another. And I do make them know the statutes of God and His laws." And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, "The thing that thou doest is not good." So someone may stop right there and they may say, "Now see there, preacher, Moses is making judgments between the people. They come to him to inquire of what God would have them to do. When they lay their case out, Moses gives a judgment. And here Jethro, his father-in-law, is saying, "What you're doing is not good. You need to put an end to the judging." When the Bible says that Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, says, "The thing that thou doest is not good," he's not talking about the judging. He's talking about the manner in which Moses is doing it. If we'll just continue to read it. "That will surely wear away, both thou and this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee." You see, it wasn't the fact that Moses was making a judgment between what people was doing that was not good. It was the way in which he was doing it. Jethro is saying, "It's too big for thee. You'll wear away. You'll weary yourself. It's too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Hearken thou unto my voice. I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them thy way, wherein thou must walk, and the work that they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands and rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And let them judge the people at all seasons. And it shall be that every great matter that they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge. So shall it be easier for thyself, and thou shalt bear the burden with thee." Or they shall bear the burden with thee. "If thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure. And all this people shall also go to their place in peace." So Moses hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law, and did all that he had said. "And Moses chose able men out of all Israel, and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And they judge the people at all seasons." The hard sayings or causes they brought unto Moses, but every small matter they judged themselves. You ought to go through there sometime and underscore a circle every time it talks about judging in that passage. A good list of times. And so Moses was engaged in judging the people. Moses' father-in-law, by the way, you recall that he was a priest of Midian, had suggested to him, "This is not good. Here's what you need to do. You need to get some other people. Make them rulers over hundreds, fifties, and so forth, so that they can judge between the people in every hard case they can bring to you, and you can decide. You can judge that." So I just want you to see from that passage that they were engaged in judging the people. Deuteronomy 1, 9 through 18 is another example that we have of judgment taking place as Moses is recalling the things that took place and the fact that judges were set over the people and judgment was made. "And I spake unto you at that time, saying, I'm not able to bear you myself alone." Notice verse 13, "Take you wise men and understanding and known among your tribes, and I will make them rulers over you. And ye answer me and say, the thing which thou hast spoken is good for us to do. So I took the chief of your tribes, wise men and known, and made them heads over you, captains over thousands and hundreds and 50s, captains over 10s, and officers among your tribes. And I charged your judges at that time. Remember, this is long before the period of the judges. But Moses is talking about individuals who made judgment over the people. Hear ye the causes between your brethren, and judge righteously between every man and his brother, and the stranger that is with him. As well as Deuteronomy 16, verses 18 and 19. Someone says, well, that's all Old Testament stuff. Well, here's a New Testament passage for you. Look at some New Testament stuff, if you'd rather have that. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, begin with verse 1. Dare any of you, having a matter, and I need to stop there and recall to your, bring to your attention, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Don't forget that. So whether it's in the Old Testament, the New Testament, you need to understand that it's inspired of God. Yes, we live this side of the cross under the New Testament law of Christ, the perfect law of liberty, as James would write in James 1:25. But those things written aforetime are written for our learning, Romans 15, verse 4. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the just and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest of matters? Know ye not that ye, or that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you, no, not one, that shall be able to judge between his brethren? But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. And then he talks about that there is utterly a fault among you. And so don't ever be deceived into thinking that the Bible condemns all judging. In fact, the Bible commands that judgment take place. Hope you keep those verses before you and to think about those. Well, let's also think about some examples of individuals who judge. We already looked at Moses. And the example that is given with him in rendering judgment before the people of God, Exodus 18. But notice that the Bible also says that Moses made a judgment as found in the book of Exodus chapter 2. You recall to mind what led to Moses being running out of Egypt? What was that he fled from Egypt and left his brethren there and he went into another land? Went off to the land and he got married, and then some 40 years later he went back on that divine mission that God had given him. Notice what the Bible says in Exodus 2 verse 14. Let's back up to verse 11 and get the context of it better. And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two of the Hebrews strove together. And he said to him that did the wrong, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? Do you think that there was any judgment that took place in that scenario? What prompted him to look at these two Hebrews, two of his brethren, and say, why are you doing this? You know, any time that we distinguish, as we're going to look at in a lesson in just a little bit, between what is bad and what is good, and we make a call upon what we had before us, that's a judging. We render a judgment in that case. And so he's asking the question, why are you doing this? And notice what verse 14 says. Who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian? And Moses feared and says, surely this thing is known. And he fled. You think that he made a judgment along the way? You think that he determined based upon what was before him, what was wrong and what was right, or that these men, his brethren, the Hebrews, were striving together? Why are you doing this? And then the man says, who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? Or Solomon. I love this story. I use that word story in the strictest sense. These are real stories. These are real events that took place in 1 Kings 3, 16 through 28. You recall what took place? Here Solomon was king over the United Kingdom. This before the children of Israel had divided and God's people had divided into two territories, the northern tribes and the southern tribe of Judah. I love the way God had told Solomon, ask what you want and I'll give it to you. Could have asked for anything that he wanted, but what did he ask for? Wisdom. That I may be able to judge this people. Think of that. God did not condemn him for the thing that he asked, because he said, I want to be able to judge and to be able to do what is right with these people. God didn't say, what you have asked is not good. God blessed him because of what he asked. He said, because you have not asked for long days, or you not asked for wealth, or you not asked for the lives of your enemies, but you've asked so that you can give a discernment with this people, that you can bear this burden as being king, I'm not only going to bless you with wisdom, I'm going to give you all these other things. And the Bible says that he was richer, more so than any king that had ever lived. People from far and near came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Remember the Queen of Sheba? Traveled all that distance to come, and she said, not even the half of it wasn't even told me. When I look and I see all that you do, and the way your servants sit at your table, and so forth. And then what took place? Here was two women that came before the king. Both of them had been mothers. And the one said, look, this lady's baby died in the night. She overlaid it. It died in the night. And so at some point, she switched our babies around. She took my baby and put it in her bosom. And she took the dead baby and she put it into mine. And I read that and I think, you know, how would I have dealt with that? And then you read how Solomon dealt with that and you think, that would have never in a million years crossed my mind to have handled that situation in that way. But Solomon said, this is what I'll do. Remember, bring me a sword. I'll divide the baby, and each one of them can have a half. And then the one mother said, don't do that, let the baby live. And as a result of that, he said, take the baby and give it to her, she is the mother. Wisdom. Did he make a judgment? Did he judge based upon the evidence that was before him? Sure he did. And he's not the only one. We think about Joseph in Genesis 39, 7 through 10. All that the king had was given into Joseph's hand. Nothing was kept back from him except his wife. In the process of time, the Bible says that she tempted Joseph. She wanted him to have relations with her, and he wasn't about to do that. Remember what he said, how can I do this thing and sin against God? Remember that? Did he make a judgment? Was there any discerning that was involved in that? Or Paul in Acts 16:15? When you look at these passages and you think about what the Bible says, you have the example of a couple of conversion accounts in Acts 16, Lydia and the jailer. And remember, after the conversion of this lady named Lydia, notice what is stated in verse 15. When she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there, and she constrained us. I suggest to you that it's inferred that they made a judgment and judged her to be faithful to the Lord because she constrained them and they stayed. Think about that. Or when the Bible talks about it, 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 3, when he's reprimanded the Corinthian church. He reprimanded him specifically in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 because of the fornication that was taking place. And notice what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 5 and then verse 3. For I verily, as absent in body but present in spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that has so done this deed. There's an example of a man who judged as well as these others. Made a judgment concerning what was done. Luke 7, 40 through 43. And probably if you ever doubted any of these passages, and hopefully you don't, but if you did, that this one perhaps out of all of them is the most clear. When we think about judging. In Luke chapter 7, begin with verse 40. Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore which of them will love him most. Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. Now notice this. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly, you need to mark it down, Thou hast rightly judged. He made a judgment based upon what the Lord had said. And the Lord said, you made a righteous judgment when you arrived at that conclusion. And time wouldn't permit for us to look at all the other examples of individuals who judged, made calls based upon, made decisions, either mentally or judicially, as the word is defined by Strong's, we set out by defining the word. Of all the individuals that did that, Eve, all the way in the beginning, Genesis chapter 3, she knew what the commandment was, she knew what the penalty was, and the Bible says when she saw that it was pleasant to the eyes, desired to make one wise, good for food, that she took it and she partook of it. She gave to Adam and he ate. She made a conclusion. It was a faulty conclusion, but she arrived at a conclusion based upon what was before. I should say that the conclusion she made was against God's commandment. That would probably be a better way of saying it. I want us to think about some examples of judgments that are forbidden. We know and we've established that all judgment is not forbidden. That individuals were engaged in making judgments. But there are some judgments that are forbidden in Scriptures. Maybe you're already aware of these, but let's think about it. In Leviticus chapter 19, verse 15, remember that the book of Leviticus is that which pertains to the Levites, and he's given them instruction. That's what the book is really about. In Leviticus chapter 19, verse 15, you shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty, but in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. And so an unrighteous judgment is forbidden by God. You don't respect individuals. Doesn't matter if they have a lot of money. Doesn't matter if they have very little money or no money at all. You have a righteous judgment. A perverted or a partial judgment. Deuteronomy 16 and then verse 19. Kind of along the same lines as what was told in the book of Leviticus. Deuteronomy 16 and in verse 19. Thou shalt not wrest judgment. Thou shalt not respect persons, neither take a gift. For a gift doth blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of the righteous. I can't tell you how many times that we were told in my secular work, don't take gifts from clients. Many of you in long work such as that. Don't take gifts from individuals that you're working with. And sometimes you probably take that a little too far and run with it when you go out and you meet some little nice ladies who wants to give you a mess of green beans. But I don't know how many times that it just really hurt me to have to say I can't accept that from them. And the reason being is because they looked at that as being unethical. And if you take gifts from clients, what you're doing is, although it may be seemingly innocent about that, is you're setting yourself up for along the way someone were to say, I knew you would do me that way. I knew that you would do me that way. Or maybe someone else would come along and give you something. They would say, well, I knew that if I gave you something along the way, that might would help you make the decision along the way or
treat me a little bit better. You see that?
No doubt this principle, that code of ethics, is based upon what we find in the Word of God. Long ago, God had said, do not take a bribe, that a gift doth blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of the righteous. Don't have a perverted or partial judgment. If you were preaching the sermon this morning, and you had one more that you would put on a screen, what would it be? What would you put up there? Let's see if we're on the same page with that. Here's one that's forbidden in the Bible, a hypocritical judgment. You're familiar with what's stated in Matthew chapter 7. I don't know at the times that individuals have looked at me and said, thou shalt not judge. By the way, do you know that phrase, thou shalt not judge? I challenge you to this. You do this. When you go home this afternoon, get a concordance or Google it or however it is you come up with your Bible passages. And you put that phrase in, thou shalt not judge, and see how many verses you find. Do that this afternoon or along this week when you have opportunity. And see what you can find. Well, in Matthew chapter 7, which again is part of the great Sermon on the Mount, the Lord said, judge not that you be not judged. And so individuals say, now see there, Donnie, the Lord says, don't judge. The Lord did not say, don't judge. That's not what the Lord said. He didn't put a period after the first two words. And neither should we. The Lord said, judge not. And finish the rest of the thought, the rest of it, so you get a better picture, that ye be not judged. He's saying don't render a judgment that you're not willing to have bestowed upon yourself. That's the purpose of Matthew chapter 7, beginning with verse 1. He's not forbidding all judgment. He's forbidding a hypocritical judgment. Let's read on. Verse 2. For with what judgment you judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite. See what's on the board? Or on the screen, hypocritical judgment. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. He's condemning a judgment that you're not willing to have applied to you. And so don't have the attitude, I'll judge everyone else, but don't judge me. Judge not that you be not judged. Don't have that attitude. But give a what type of judgment? We're going to get there. What kind of judgment should you give? A hypocritical judgment? A perverted judgment? An unrighteous judgment? Sweep our own front porch, what he's saying, before you begin to try to housekeep with someone else. Suppose it would have been said, in these situations, don't judge me. Suppose it would have been said, don't judge me, when Saul was rebuked by Samuel in 1 Samuel 15. Remember that? God said, destroy the Amalekites and utterly destroy everything, but they didn't do that. They saved Agag. King alive. Some of the other best things to so forth. Suppose he would have said when he was rebuked by the prophet, don't judge. Would that have worked? Let me ask you, we had school teachers in our midst, or maybe Ann has a student that comes along, she gives them a test and she grades it. Student misses four or five questions, and he goes back and says, well, look here, why did I miss this? And she explains it to him. Suppose that student said, don't judge me, teacher. Would that work? I guarantee you that she would say that won't work. You see that? Or, don't judge me when David was rebuked by Nathan. Thou art the man. Would that have worked? Later he... And one of the best confessions that we find in the book of God, Psalm 51, laments about that. And he says, unto thee and thee only have I sinned against thee and thee only. Psalm 51. Or, don't judge me. If the Jews would have said that when they were taught the truth in Acts chapter 2. Let the house of Israel know as surely that thou hast taken this same Jesus and by wicked hands you've crucified and slain. Acts 2:36. Well, don't judge us, Peter. Would that work? They had the best reaction to it. And the Bible says that they were pricked in their hearts and they cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? Or suppose when Peter was rebuked by Paul, stated in Galatians chapter 2, that he was saying, now Paul, don't judge me. And the list just goes on and on and on. But no doubt you've been thinking, probably most of through this sermon, about what the Lord said in John chapter 7, verse 24. Judge a righteous judgment. Judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. See, sometimes people look at John chapter 7 and Matthew chapter 7, and they try to pit those two against one another. Well, it's no contradiction. The Lord's just not talking about the same thing. And this one, he's saying judge a righteous judgment. In Matthew chapter 7, so we've already looked at it, he's talking about a hypocritical judgment. A standard you don't want to be applied to yourself. All of thy judgments are righteous, the psalmist would declare in Psalm 19 and verse 9. Or in Psalm 106, or 19, it should be 119 on the screen, verses 106 and 108. I have sworn and I will perform it that I will keep thy righteous judgments. Except I beseech thee the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. And the Lord said again, judge a righteous judgment. Hebrews 5:14. You recall what that verse states? There's a word in there that has every bit to do with what we're talking about this morning. The straw meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to do what? To discern both good and evil. You know what that word discern means? Judicial exercise. Or a judicial decision. A judgment. Has there been to do with what we've been talking about? In fact, that comes from the same family of words that we've been looking at with judgment, judgments, judging, judge. When 1 Kings 18:21. How long halt ye between two opinions? If God be God, then serve Him. If Baal be God's servant, how halt ye between two opinions? Make up your mind is what He's saying. Make up your mind. Joshua 24:15. Choose you this day. That's a judgment. Folks, when individuals ask you a question or something is presented before you, and you weigh that with what the Bible says, that is a righteous judgment. That's a judgment. And we're all obligated to make those judgments. I'm responsible before God for the judgments that I've made, the decisions that I've made. Yes, we have God's judgments. They're righteous. We have His instruction, but we've got to make the choice along the way. And so when someone tells you something, religiously speaking, and you're not sure about the answer to that, and you open up the pages of God's Word, and you look at what the Bible says, and you look at what is before you, you've got to decide. You've got to judge what you're going to do. And when something is amiss in your neighbor's life, or your brother's sister's life, or someone that you know, you kindly go to them with the Word of God and you say, listen, I want to talk with you about what the Bible says. Are you making a judgment? You better believe you are. But make a righteous judgment based upon the Word of God. I hope that lesson has helped you. I told you at the beginning it's not going to be an exhaustive lesson on judging. But that gives you enough at least and you can go home and study and have plenty of homework. This morning, if you're not a child of God, this is how you become one, and folks, that have never changed. I tell you that just about every week, though the world stand for thousands of more years, that will never change. You become a child of God by hearing the gospel, Romans 10:17, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, John 8:24, repenting of your sins, Luke 13:3, confessing your faith in Christ that He is the Son of God, Matthew 10:32-33, Romans 10:10, and being baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38. When you do that, the Lord will forgive you of everything you've ever done and add you to His church that you read about on the pages of the Bible. And you can go like the eunuch did in Acts 8, rejoicing, knowing that if today were the last day of your earthly pilgrimage, heaven will be your eternal home. Maybe you have done that, but you turned your back on the Lord. You stopped living right. You went back, as Peter would say, the dog has returned to its own vomit again, or the sow that was washed her wallowing in the mire. Maybe that describes you this morning. Why not repent of those things? Make confession to God in prayer that He'll restore you to faithfulness. We'll pray with Him for you. If you're subject to the gospel call, don't delay. Come right now.